Good afternoon. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM and I'm Charlotte Reed. This is Food for Thought, which is Siren's food show. Each week I take a look at the cafes and restaurants in and around Lincoln and find out about other foodie things happening in the county. On this week's show, I spoke to Adam Lois, who's the owner of the Little Espresso Company. It's a tiny takeaway coffee shop which offers a wide variety of drinks and paninis. And Adam is launching his own coffee delivery service alongside the shop.
You can go online, order whatever drinks you want, whatever paninis you want, frappuccinos, teas, hot top chocolates, all the little bits and pieces, and we will deliver them to you on our bike. It's like bringing an entire coffee shop to your desk at work.
Also this week, I'll be revisiting my interview with Claire Rick from the Children's Food Trust, all about encouraging kids to eat healthy.
Siren 107.3 FM.
The Little Espresso Company is a tiny space big enough for just a few people to queue. It could possibly be the smallest coffee shop, and it certainly is in Lincoln, but the focus is on making and selling fantastic cups of coffee. To find out more about how the Little Espresso Company works, I visited it earlier this week, and I started by asking Adam Lois, who's the owner, how he came up with the idea for the place.
I started because I wanted to open a small takeaway coffee bar. I had the idea that I wanted to serve really good coffee at a good price. The only way to do that, to keep the costs low, is to open a small shop.
And so how did you find this particular tiny sort of space?
I was looking around, I was looking in Lincoln particularly because I'm from Lincolnshire and I wanted to do something for the local town, and I spent about a year looking at all different areas where you can get a shop or a market stall or something like that. Fortunately, this little alleyway came up and it's available for rent, and just at the right time.
And so you kind of made that part of your reasons why people should come and visit as well, because it's really such a small space.
Yeah, it's a bit of a gimmick at first, really, but now I think people have gotten to the idea, they've caught on to the fact that it's a quick way of getting your drinks, quick way of getting your coffee in the morning. You can rush through, even if there's a queue of four, five, six people, you can still get a coffee in a couple of minutes' time because of the way we operate here, because it is just a takeaway bar.
And I was reading when you sort of first started that you were trying to get it in the world, Guinness Book of Records, that it was the tiniest coffee shop. How did that go?
Pretty sure we are the world's tiniest, although we've not been able to prove it yet. I think there's probably some guy operating from a smaller shop somewhere in the world, maybe. Maybe I was a bit naive, but I'm definitely the smallest in Lincoln.
And what's it like working in sort of such close quarters here?
Incredibly claustrophobic. Incredibly claustrophobic. I can touch the sides of the walls with both hands. Thankfully, I've been able to expand it a little bit further, and now it's not so bad. But when I first started, because I was just by myself, it was a bit tight. But I think the customers have got the most space, actually, which is... I should have thought about that, really, shouldn't I?
And do you find it hard to sort of build up a relationship with customers because it's a small space, or do you find yourself sort of becoming or having more of a relationship with them because it's such a small space?
All my customers come back every day. I see them all every single day. They all come in at the same times, they all do the same routines. I know my customers what they have to drink every time, I know exactly how they like it, how many sugars they have with it, what syrups they like to put in it, what if it's a slightly hotter day, I know who's going to have the frappuccinos and who's going to have the iced Americanos. I've got a really good relationship with my customers, they come in every day. I think because it's a small place, I don't know, I think I like to think it's because they like the coffee.
And so how did you become sort of so interested in coffee?
I've always had a like taste for it. It's ever since I was young. When I first got my first French press, I started drinking coffee all the time, and probably shouldn't really when I was that age, but I did. And I remember kicking up a bit of fuss at school because they only had instant coffee, and really trying to make them get some decent coffee in until things got quite far, and I actually got sent to the headmaster about that. But I've always been quite keen on coffee, and I worked in coffee bars when I was a student, and when I left university I realised the one thing I really did enjoy doing was working with coffee, making people coffee and talking to customers and spending time with them. And that's probably why I got into this whole idea after all.
And so how do you decide what coffees to have here?
We go through the normal routines of having what generally is accepted as the standard coffees, the lattes, flat whites, your normal frappuccinos. And then after that, we decided to get the biggest selection of syrups in. There's more here than you'll find in anywhere in Lincoln. So we can start making up some really interesting drinks as well. So sometimes you come in, you can get a peanut butter pie mocha, or a strawberry gatto frappuccino, all these sort of interesting things. We made up our menu. We decided that we wanted to be really good quality, so we used Suki tea, chocolate abyss, which is the best you can get. And then we thought we'd also add these other little things in, such as all the syrups, and try and make an extensive menu.
And so what's Suki tea and chocolate abyss then?
Suki tea is, we do all takeaway, obviously. So rather than getting little PG tips or takeaway little bags like that, this is real tea in a bag. It's proper green tea leaves and all the, I mean, the chamomile tea, I was going to get a bag there, but you can't see it, can you, because it's radio. The chamomile tea has got chamomile flowers in it, little flowers in it. It's the real stuff, it's amazing. Chocolate abyss is really strong, high cocoa content, so it's a proper hot chocolate.
So you were saying there about some of your creations you've had with the syrups. Mm. How do you sort of come up with those ideas, and how do you sort of experiment with
it? It is just experimenting, sitting here in the evening and trying to work out what will go with what. There's been a few disasters, like, I don't know, strawberry and coffee and chilli and coffee don't really go together, but chilli and hot chocolate goes together really well. Coconut and hot chocolate goes together fantastic, because it's like a bounty bar in a drink. It's really just a trial and error, adding a few things together, and you can get a real interesting different tastes.
And there'll be more from my interview with Adam later in the show, and he'll be mentioning more about their new delivery service. And I think just from that interview, you could tell how small and how close everything is. And we'll be chatting more about that later in the interview as well. Healthy eating is an important part of life. We all know that, no matter what age you are. However, it's important to get this idea across to children at a young age. A few months back on Food for Thought, I spoke to Claire Rick from the Children's Food Trust to find out how you can make fruit and vegetables more appealing to kids. They help schools create healthy menus and organise cookery lessons for parents and children. And Claire explains why it's important to teach children about healthy eating.
First of all, about the sort of health side of this, I mean, we're all aware, you kind of read it in the papers every day, about the issues that we have as a country, as a nation, with malnutrition in all its forms. So we have on the one side families at the moment who are perhaps really struggling to make ends meet, really struggling to put enough food on the table, and struggling then to eat a good diet. You know, they're having to rely on foods that are perhaps much cheaper, but perhaps not as nutritious as they could be, and, you know, having to rely on cheaper processed foods and things like that. Then we know have a big problem with too many of us being overweight and obese, and that problem does extend to children as well. You know, it's about one in three children who finish primary school overweight or obese, according to the latest figures. So that side of it is very, very important. You know, we all need to eat well to be healthy, so we want to get children into those good habits really early so that they can grow up to be healthier adults. And so that the cost to NHS of those sorts of issues does reduce. We all know how big an issue that is. The other side of this, as I just mentioned there, is children's attainment, their achievement in school, their ability to reach their potential. If children don't have that good health, if children aren't eating well, their ability to focus in class, in school, is hindered. And, you know, we know from research that we've done, for example, in primary schools, when we give children a healthier lunch in a more pleasant dining environment, they're about three times more focused with their teachers in their lessons in the afternoon. So there's a demonstrable impact to improving the food they eat. So that's why it's important. And certainly on the cooking side as well, getting children more involved with what they eat, getting them interested in food from a really early age, all helps in that bigger picture of helping us all to eat better.
So it's actually sort of quite simple ways that you can get children involved in wanting to know more about food.
Yeah, I mean, there are some kind of basics, I suppose. I mean, I suppose, first of all, for any sort of parents who might be listening, we would say, you know, eat with your children. That's a really big thing that's, that we often talk about when we're working with parents and with nurseries and things like that. Actually sitting down, children model our behaviour, don't they? They watch how we are as adults and they learn from that. So eating with your children and eating well with your children is a really good starting point. We're working with early years settings like nurseries, like childminders, to work on the food that children eat when they're in childcare. So from that very, very early age, when they're going off to nursery placements, they're actually getting a really good food experience there. That's the aim. We want them to be eating really well. We want them to be starting to play with food while they're at nursery and getting to grips with some of the real basics of cooking and getting that awareness and involvement with food from a really early age, which is fantastic. When they set off to school, we want to build on that. So we want the food that's served in schools to be, you know, good food that's healthy, and that's why national standards for school meals that were brought in after Jamie Oliver's series that lots of people will remember have been so important. They've made a massive impact on the meals that are served in school and the food that children eat there. You know, the average meal is down in fat, sugar, salt, and children are eating more fruit and veg at school and drinking more water, not eating as much chocolate and crisps and sweets at school, things like that. So it's really important that we keep building on that. And it's just really about the consistency, I think. It's about everybody who's responsible for feeding children trying to keep those sort of positive messages and keep reinforcing them in every way that we deal with children. So both at home and at school and when children are out, you know, for example, going down to the local swimming pool, we want them to be getting those good messages about what it means to eat well and having healthier options to choose from.
And if you'd like to listen to that interview with Claire in full, then it is online from a few weeks back. Just head to sarinonline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. Earlier in the show, I was chatting to Adam Lewis from the Little Espresso Company. We've already covered what it's like to work in such a small coffee shop and some of his experimental drink flavours. In the second half of the interview, Adam talks more about his new delivery service, which is launching soon, where they will bike orders to your offices. And hopefully you've been enjoying the recent hot weather, but it doesn't make you want a hot drink. But the Little Espresso Company has alternative drinks for the summer, which Adam describes.
An iced coffee is actually really refreshing. Saying that, in the morning time, when I get the majority of my customers, people still like to have their normal coffees because it's part of their routine and it's not too hot in the morning, so it's okay. Definitely more iced coffees have been sold this last few days.
And how do you kind of, I don't know, do you see of yourself as competing with the other coffee shops in Lincoln, or do you not really think about what they're doing?
Well, I think what we're doing with regards to deliveries, we're not going to be, it's going to be a completely different game. We're going to be away from everybody else. At the moment, I see my main competition as being the chain stores, but like I say, my customers come to me because they know they can get a really good coffee at a really good price. I can compete and beat the chain stores on quality and price. So my main competition are those sort of guys. Where they have the upper hand is they've got a lot of money to throw into big shops. They also can do some elusive things with tax and other things like that, so they can get away with bits and pieces. But I think by working with the local community, working with all the local businesses that I do, being seen as a real independent little shop, I'm going to beat the competition.
And you mentioned there your deliveries. Now, this is a new service that you're sort of recently bringing out. So what's it all about?
Okay, on the 18th of July, we're starting our own. We've got our website coming up. It's a really simple to use website. You can go online, order whatever drinks you want, whatever paninis you want, frappuccinos, teas, hot chocolates, all the little bits and pieces, and we will deliver them to you on our bike. It's all economical and eco-friendly. It's like bringing an entire coffee shop to your desk at work. You won't have to leave, you won't have to go through the rain in the daytime, you won't have to walk and queue up for ages. We'll bring it all to you within a matter of minutes of you ordering.
And so how did you decide that you wanted to start doing that?
It was realising what customers wanted. They didn't want to leave their desks. A lot of them have jobs where they're salespeople. They can't leave their desk once they got to work because they know they're going to miss that sale. So they have to stay there. And it's for people like that. There's people in schools, the teachers, who can't leave, they can't get out. The hospital, the nurses and doctors, they can't leave work just to go out and get a coffee. So it's about bringing the whole shop to them and also making it done, doing it in a really easy and nice way through the website.
And do you think it's going to be sort of quite a challenge, especially as you set yourself a time limit from someone who's...
It's, I don't think the challenge is going to be, once we've got it all set up now, we know what we can do, we know what we can achieve, how many we can take. I think as long as we're ready to move with what needs to be moved, any changes, make any quick changes, we can do it.
And how are you sort of keeping things hot when you're delivering them as well?
It's all been, we've had these bespoke boxes made up, they're insulated, the thermo boxes we call them. They all keep the drinks really close and tight so they don't wobble around and move. The bike itself is really distinctive. It's got a very sort of spongy front suspension system, so it'll take it all easily, and there won't be any damaging quality to the coffee or the food.
And yeah, you also do food here. What kind of things did you decide to do here?
We decided to do paninis and bagels, the normal coffee shop stuff. We do muesli pots and porridge pots, as well as lots of different locally produced crisps, like Piper's crisps, and all the little coffee treats you get with it. Hand-baked cookies, street waffles, and a couple of American things as well, just a bit of fun.
And do you sort of make a point to represent Lincoln or Lincolnshire things?
It's just about common sense, really. Just trying to use the people who are close to you. They're your neighbours, so if I can use a local company to get my crisps, then I will. My coffee is from a local coffee roasters, because it's a coffee that you don't get in Lincoln, but it's also produced by an independent guy who's doing a really good job. So I think we should use them rather than using a company that's, I don't know, 500 miles away in another country, and we should use what we've got here.
And also, you've just had your menus recently redesigned by students who were from the University of Lincoln as well. So you like that kind of working off other things that are around you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I know how hard it is to get experience and a job after you finish university. So if I can do anything to help them out, then it's all good. I mean, the lady who did all the designs for us produced a new logo, new menus, and new colour scheme. A woman called Kelly Sheenan, she did a really, really good job, and it's going to look great in her CV, and it's done wonders for the shop. So yeah, I'll do anything I can to be there to help out with students if they want that.
And whilst we've been here, I've come to realise it's quite near quite a busy road.
yes. That's cool, that's okay. Lots of people see me as they drive by, and I'm quite used to the whole sort of fish tank experience of being like here whilst people drive by, so I'm all right with that.
Yeah, it's a place that's here's quite busy, but it is busy by road more than footfall. And how have you been working with that?
Well, it's a case of getting yourself noticed a bit more. Like I say, the reason I'm able to do things at such a good price is because I'm not in the centre of town. I've got customers who support me as they drive by, but also all the customers who used to walk down Clarskett Gate on the way to work, or the people who used to go to the college down the road from the West End, all that sort of stuff, they all now come down Silver Street to pass by me in the morning. So that's how I get my customers.
That's
what
the people sort of redirect to
the town. Yeah, I've managed to redirect people, change their daily routine, actually.
And obviously, deliveries is the next sort of big project for you, but what other things would you like to do with the Little Espresso Company?
I'd like to see a Little Espresso Company in every city. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to use different local ingredients in different parts of the city. So each little espresso is slightly different, but it's all got its own personality.
And that was Adam Lois from the Little Espresso Company on Silver Street in Lincoln.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
And that's all for this week's Food for Thought. If you have any restaurant recommendations or just want to get in touch, then head to sirenonline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. And there you can find out how to get in touch with me, and you can also listen to some previous episodes of Food for Thought online as well. And as we're now into the summer months, if you know of any food events happening, then let me know and I can give it a mention on the show.